Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Hybrid Jazz is a vision of all that is jazz, both traditional and contemporary, domestic and global. Here's your host, Trish Hennessy.
Thank you, Dave. And what the heck? We're going to play the music. If Jimmy has what comes our way in the next couple of seconds, that's cool. If not, we'll go into a Jimmy Haslip tune. Man, I'm telling you what, I love everybody who listens to this show. Can I just tell you? It is just crazy what is happening behind the scenes with Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. No joke. And it looks like it's just going to get better and better because once the momentum gets to a certain point, it's pretty incredible. I love it. I'm so grateful. Thanks be to God for everything. No joke. 109 and then some listens since it started in 2011. And the guests are everything that I would want for this show because it's a cross-structure of what is happening in jazz. And some of the guests you don't necessarily have as top of mind, for sure. But guess what? Those guests seem to be the ones that get the most attention and people flock to and support, which is the main reason, isn't it? We love that support. All right. Can we do this? Can we just not wait for Jimmy? Can we play something by him? Let's do that. Let's play The Step from Jeff Lorber's Fusion, Hacienda from last year here on Hybrid Jazz, featuring Jimmy Haslip. You know, I got to tell you, this morning and actually yesterday as well, I was awash in music by this Bassmaster. No joke. When you go back, and we're talking now about 1993 and then 2000, and Yellow Jacket's work, and work that he did with Rita Coolidge, I'm just, listen, this is the honest to goodness truth. This is what happened. This morning, actually early this morning, I pulled out this Rita Coolidge album, and I had paid attention to it, of course, because it's Rita Coolidge, and some of us have followed her for quite a while. So I just happened to remember that in researching Jimmy Haslip, I saw that he had worked with this myriad of different kinds of people, including some household names. Now, in my household, one of those names was Rita Coolidge. So I just happened to pick up the CD, and I thought, you know what, I'm going to look at the credits because I really have not looked as much as I've listened to the CD. And who was the producer? The gentleman that you're about to hear. So it was just wild. It's supposed to be a situation where I come across this man's name in the past like 3 or 4 days over and over again. And you know what? The music that I've listened to that has refreshed me, because back in the day I was listening to a whole lot of it, whether Jimmy was with other people or whether he was doing his work as band leader. When you see the cross-reference section of those who have absolutely required this man's bass abilities on their project, it's staggering. Bassist extraordinaire, producer, as a matter of fact, inspiration for a lot of people, including Max Carl, who wanted me to say a special hello and send love to this gentleman right here, Jimmy Haslip. Jimmy, how are you?
Hi.
I am glad that you're here. How are you?
I'm okay.
Listen.
I was given this number, and I wasn't sure if it was the correct number, but
it is. it most certainly is. Hopefully you heard a little of your music in the background while you were on hold. Hopefully.
I just popped on, so I heard like a couple of seconds of piece, and I can't. I think that was Jeff Lorber Fusion.
Yes, you are correct. And I was waxing poetic. You didn't hear all of what I just had to say, but trust me, I went on a little bit. If you don't mind, please let me go on about you a little bit.
That's very flattering. Thank you.
No, thank you. You know what? Arc and Red Heat have been refreshed in my memory past few days. And Jimmy, I don't know what the for those of us who have been involved in music for a long time, I've been doing radio since 1976. I know that you've been doing music for as long of a time, longer. But you know, you can't necessarily remember the initial reaction of musical projects when they come to be. Whatever that reaction was when your Arc and Red Heat came out in 93 and then 2000, if you were to re-release those two projects, they would be monumental. Seriously.
I appreciate that. It's very, very nice of you to say.
Oh,
I am very proud of those records, but I'm involved in so many things, and actually Red Heat was just released on a small label, so you know, a lot of times when that happens, you don't have a lot of support behind the project. You just hope that some people get to hear it.
Well, you know, I'll just ask you right off the bat, because you intrigue me so much as a bassist, because your vision is so global. I love that. You you had the background in that music when you were growing up, and that's the musical blueprint. So how wonderful that all of that is infused in you. If you were to do another dream project with you as leader so you could call all the shots, what would you do? How do you envision
it? Well, I have been thinking about doing a fourth solo record, and I have some music that I've written, and it's a work in progress. Whenever I do a solo record, it takes a while to put all the pieces together and think about people that are going to work on it with you. Hopefully, you have to solicit some people's help. I have now produced two records, my last two solo records with Joe Vanelli, who's an old friend, and I did a lot of work with him, with his brother Gino, back in the 80s.
Yes.
And we became very good, Joe and I became very good friends, and he's got a very serious passion for music, and that's one thing that I need to have on the premise is passion. So
yeah,
we have worked on the last two records together, and I'm sure I'll be talking to him about a fourth project. He's been pretty busy though, doing a lot of producing himself. In fact, he's been in the studio for the last, I want to say, 6 or 7 months. He's been in there working with a new Tower Power record. So.
Oh wow.
Yeah, so
wow.
He's a terrific guy, and we have a lot of similarity in what we like, and a lot of the music that we like and music that we listen to, and the other parts of making a record. We have similar tastes in how a record should sound, and so it's a very fertile collaboration, and I'm sure I'll be working with him again. And I have some new people that I've worked with that I've met and done maybe small projects, things here and there, and been very inspired by them. So I'm thinking about a lot of things, and things keep happening too. So I'm always influenced by current events, and as time goes on, there's a lot of things that happen, and a lot of people that you meet, a lot of new people, and there's a lot of people that you lose along the way. One way or another. In fact, I just had yesterday, I had some dinner with a very good friend of mine, and we had a very deep conversation about Horace Silver, who just recently passed away. And I haven't gone back to the Horace Silver's catalog in quite a while, but I am very much aware of all the music that came out of him. And I did get to meet him once as well, and he was a very nice man and very cordial, and it was, an honor to meet Horace Silver. So
how wonderful that you did. Mm.
Yeah, and then just the other day we lost Charlie Hayden. So Charlie, I've met Charlie a number of times, and of course, being a fellow bassist, I was really influenced by his playing and all the things that he did. There's things like this that go on and on and on. So you're influenced by these things. And I'm speaking of people, but there's a lot of other current events that are going to influence you in one way or another. And those things have a hand in what ends up being a project when you start working on a record. So all those things come into play. So your question is It's a great question, but it's hard for me to answer that because I'm now compiling music and I'm thinking about working with several people, including Jovanelli, and then there's all these things that are whirling around on the planet, and you know they're going to influence you.
You answered the question. You sure did, because what you essentially are saying is, and this is a very simplistic premise here, but some do not understand that in order to create music, you have to live before it can be created. Otherwise, where are you going to get the inspiration? So
that's
when
exactly
you,
right.
You're a very emotional and passionate person, and I don't know if you heard this, but Max Carl, who has become a friend on Facebook, and I'll see him when he comes to the Maryland State Fair with Grand Funk Railroad next month. Max Carl wanted me to especially say to you that he considers you, and this is what he said publicly on my Facebook page, mi hermano.
Well, I love Max, and Max and I met years and years ago playing in a band, and we really connected, and I've done some projects with him. I'm actually on a couple of his records, and the main one was a record he did called The Circle. And that was a fun record to work on. We did that overseas. We actually recorded all the music in Frankfurt, Germany. And he's a very serious, talented gentleman and a wonderful friend. And we haven't seen each other in quite a while because he moved out of California, and he, for a long time, lived in Georgia. And that's when, for most of that time, he was in a really great band called 38 Special.
Oh, yeah.
And then he moved back towards the West. I think he's in New Mexico or Arizona, I believe. And I'm always confused by that because we haven't talked that much. And, you know, we keep thinking we're going to try to hook up. So, I am thinking about that. So when you see him, tell him we want to see him and hang out. And I know he's been very busy with Grand Funk Railroad. And I have another old friend that's in that band. It's Bruce Kulick, who's playing guitar in that group.
Oh.
I was in a band with him in the late 70s, early 80s, with a singer named Michael Bolton. And that nobody knew who he was. He was just a singer from Connecticut at the time, and a great singer. And we did two records for Polygram Records at that time with a group called Blackjack.
Oh, wow!
So,
yeah. Well, Jimmy, you and I are about the same age, so I remember so much of what is in your background the first time around, not the second time around, because some of these much younger folks are getting involved with the music that we were experiencing back in the 60s and now understand that it's some of the greatest music that ever was, and then into the 70s, more great music. And I don't know if you heard me say this, but I know that you have been so involved with different kinds of people. I'm just going to run off a couple of names here for those in the chat room and those who are listening live or when they hear the archive show. You mentioned Gino Vannelli, Bruce Hornsby, Chaka Khan, Al Jarreau, and then I'm picking up in the past 24 hours, seriously, I've had this album for a while, never looked at the credits. Rita Coolidge, And So Is Love, from 2008. Here's the producer, you. Wow.
That was a very interesting project. And to be very honest, when I was solicited to work with her on this record, I immediately thought we were going to do a roots record, and I started putting a band together in my head of musicians that would accomplish that. You know, in fact, I was thinking of a drummer named Jim Keltner, who was in Mad Dogs and Englishmen, and
I remember that
traveling,
name, yes.
Traveling Willoughbys, and really great drummer. I've done some session work with him, and I love his playing. And then a guitar player named Dean Parks was also on my list.
Yes.
And I was even going to bring in a bass player to play on some stuff, a gentleman named Leland Sklar.
Oh, I love him.
Yeah, he's great. And so I had these guys in mind, and I was thinking, okay, you know, let's hear the music. And then the next thing I knew is I was asked to do a jazz standards record for it.
Imagine your surprise.
I had to completely, like, turn my head around and think, oh, wow, okay. And then we had some nice meetings with record company people, and a lot of music was selected at those meetings, and there were, you know, all kinds of, you know, beautiful songs from the standards book. Come Rain, Come Shine, which is a
yes.
beautiful standard. Cry Me a River. I had to just turn around and think about that, and then I hired musicians accordingly, and I got some great players. And one of my colleagues from Yellow Jackets, Russell Ferrante, and Terry Lynn Carrington played on that record.
Beautiful work.
Wonderful bass player who's not with us anymore named Dave Carpenter, along with Chuck.
Berghofer.
Yes, that's right. Chuck Berghofer, who played with Frank Sinatra for like 20 years. And
oh, man.
I'm a big fan of his. Ralph Humphries and Alan Pasqua as well. Alan Pasqua did a lot of arranging, and so did Russ. And we had you know, really fun time making that record. And she was a wonderful person to work with, and it was very interesting going down that road with her, because I was even thinking of Booker T. Jones, you know, because I had worked with Booker T. A long, long time ago, just doing a demo for Priscilla Coolidge.
Yes.
And also for a guy named John Finley. And I don't know if you know who that is, but John Finley was a lead singer of a really interesting band. It was sort of out of Canada, but they were up in upstate New York, and they had a regional hit back in the 60s, and it was a group called Rhinoceros.
Oh, my gosh. That's going back a while.
That's really going back. So,
yeah.
Anyway, that Rita was great, and I did see her perform this music live here in Los Angeles, and it was a really nice show. So it's amazing you ran into that record.
Oh, yeah, and here is why. And you talk about it being a small world. I know that you are coming with my friend Jeff Antoniuk and company, the Mars Fortet, to Bethesda Blues and Jazz. Well, guess who follows you there? Rita Coolidge.
Oh, that's really wild.
Isn't it? Yeah.
That is, yeah.
That's why I wanted to do a little research, and I thought, okay, Jimmy has worked with Rita Coolidge. Let me see those kinds of connections. And I just happened to turn over my CD here, and I thought, well, that's supposed to be for today's show. and really, Jimmy, at this point, who haven't you worked with? There has been a lot of people through the years, because you left Huntington, New York, 1969 or so, lived in a bunch of places before Los Angeles. Would you ever consider writing a book about your journey? Because I would love to hear about those inside stories.
Yeah, well, I just did an interview with a gentleman down in San Antonio, Texas, for All About Jazz. And
oh, good.
It was somewhat biographical. It had a lot of information there. He asked some pretty deep questions of me, and we had a really good time conversing about all this stuff. And he's a big music fan himself. He's a journalist named Richard Salvucci. And from that interview, it's been up on All About Jazz. It's an online magazine, and it's gotten a bit of attention. So he has actually written to me and talked to me about doing some kind of biographical work with him.
Wonderful.
So I'm considering it. I do have a birthday coming up, so time just moves on. I turned 63 in December, so
yes.
Sometimes I do think about things like this, and I have had some pretty wonderful experiences so far in my life. And it's, to me, there's no ego involved. It's just a story. And, my thought would be that maybe the story would inspire some young musicians along the way. So the possibility is there.
Oh, I'm glad.
And, we'll see where it goes. I'm actually very humble about all that, so I don't really honestly, I don't really think about it too much. I'm just pretty much of a forward motion kind of guy. I'm just looking over the fence to the next project. So, and taking care of my family. So that's what's on the forefront of my thinking.
And humble, too. A forward-thinking, humble kind of guy. And you have alluded to this a bit so far, but it's such a circle story with you because of the influence of Jaco Pastorius and your musical journey. And now, in thinking back, I just thought about this minutes before the interview was about to start. Here's your particular honest, emotional immersion in the Yellow Jackets for so long, and now here's Felix Pastorius in the Yellow Jackets.
Yeah, Felix is one of Jaco's twin boys who I met. I met these two boys, Julius and Felix. Julius is a fine drummer, by the way, and
yes.
He's playing out. He's living down in Florida. They were wonderful little kids. I met them when they were just like, like 7 or 8 years old. with Ingrid, their mom. And Jaco, what can I say? Jaco was an influence to everybody, I think. He really changed music
too.
in a big way. And in fact, I won't even try, but I mean, I'll always support the fact that I feel that Jaco, was a genius and a visionary and really changed music. But I think Pat Metheny is he's a very articulate gentleman, and I think he has mentioned this in interviews before, and he says it the best. But Jaco really was quite a force in the world of music, and not only changed the instrument, the electric bass, but he had a huge influence on how music sounds today.
Yes.
And I was really lucky to just have a little little splotch of time with him in 1976 when he came out to L.A. to join Weather Report. So I just feel, you know, to this day, I feel honored that I got a chance to meet him and spend some time with him and study with him. And the study with him was not just all music, because he was a very magical person, and he had this gift. He had a gift, and that only comes around very so often in one's life when you can see something like this. The only other person I saw, well, actually I saw two people that had a gift that I could honestly say that when I saw them on stage, I felt like there was some very magical element to their personality and how they perform music, and that was Miles Davis and Jimi Hendrix. So
wow.
I got to see both of them live, and Jaco, I felt, had the same quality in his personality and how he approached music and just how he looked at life.
I remember a story that I read about Jaco, where he was very forthcoming in regard to his association even before Weather Report and during Weather Report. And I know that he went up to Joe Zawinul one day, and there was a bunch of people who were not able to articulate it as well as Jaco was. But Jaco addressed Joe and said, "Why are you being the way you're being? Because you're upsetting everyone." And nobody but Jaco could have said this, and it stopped Joe in his tracks, and he said, "Wow, you're right, I'm sorry." So he just had a way of communicating, I suppose. I wish I had known him. He was born in Norristown, PA, which is right up the street from Jenkintown, PA, where I was born and raised. So,
oh, wow.
Yeah, yeah.
Go ahead. I was just going to say he did have a way of communicating with people, and he was very forthright with things that he said. It's very straightforward in a lot of ways. He came from an area. What I was going to say when you mentioned his birthplace, Philadelphia, it seems that area, Philadelphia in general, produces a lot of unbelievable bass players. So he's right in there with everyone else.
Stanley
Clarke's from there.
Yes, and organ and, players too.
Well, it's a good music town.
Yes,
the guy I'm working
absolutely.
With now, Jeff Lorber, is from Philadelphia. So.
Jeff Lorber and I had a conversation about this when he was at Bethesda Blues and Jazz, actually, with Chuck Loeb and Everett Harp. When Jeff was going to Cheltenham High School, I was going to Bishop McDevitt High School a mile down the road. So it is a very small world.
Yeah.
Oh, my. Isn't it, though? Jimmy,
it is.
I don't want to keep you. I want to make mention that you have been part of this. It's so cool. Maryland Summer Jazz Workshops, Jams, and Concerts. And this is why you're going to be at Bethesda Blues and Jazz on the 22nd. That's going to be real exciting. And don't be surprised to see a sold-out house, because a lot of these younger cats and kitties gravitate to the way you play. So you're going to open some eyes for the other guys, and they'll be very appreciative, the Mars Quartet. But because your presence will be there, that's going to be an explosive show.
Oh, I appreciate that. We're looking forward to it. and I'm honored to be part of this educational festival and camp, and I'm looking forward to working with Jeff Antoniak and his group, and also Paula Phillips is one of the organizers, and
she's great.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to being there. I'm actually this week preparing a bunch of material for that. I'll be teaching some seminars, and I think one will be with Jeff Antoniak. I just had a discussion yesterday. He actually studied ethnomusicology in college, and
yes.
That's a subject that I've been very much interested in since the mid-80s. So we had some discussion about that, and we're going to teach an introductory ethnomusicology seminar. So,
oh, wonderful. Well,
that'll
wonderful.
Be fun. Yeah, you have a lot of fun.
And your
thank
input.
You, thank you. I was going to say thank you to you, Trish, for all the support and playing all this music that I've been affiliated with. I really appreciate that.
Jimmy, let me tell you, I am not kidding when I say that if past music of yours was to be re-released, I think that there's a consciousness now of people who could appreciate you anew, and here's why. You were born into this home that had a house full of different kinds of jazz, first of all, and then different kinds of music. So you have lent yourself to that bass guitar that you've used for all of these years in a way that has given us a global vision of bass as opposed to one notion of how jazz or anything that is a hybrid of jazz could sound. You're different than any other bass player because you understand that. It's a worldwide notion of music and not just part and parcel an American vision of it. So that's why I love you.
I appreciate that very much. I am proud of the fact that I belong to a generation of musicians that have a lot of similarities in that, and they share that vision. We'll just keep doing what we're doing, I am excited about this coming week and being part of this educational festival, and I've been trying to do more along those lines. Education seems to be suffering in this country, especially music education, and so I can play a little part in helping to bring that to a lot of young musicians, and that's also in the forefront of what I think about is being involved more with education and trying to do more seminars and workshops. That's been happening over the years. I've done thousands of them, actually, all around the world. So I just want to keep doing that as long as I can.
That's wonderful.
And I thank Jeff Antoniak and Paula Phillips for inviting me to this festival. I look forward to it.
Well, they couldn't have picked a better person because you said it at the beginning of this. You look for people who are passionate about these different projects. You, as a mentor for young people who are going into music, there's no one better. And I'm going to leave you because I know that you have a lot of things to do, but I have to play. And then you don't have to stick around because it's 6 minutes, but I love the song Los Feliz, and I know it's important to you.
It is. That's a really nice piece of music I wrote for my dad. So, and he got to hear it before he left us. And I thank you for supporting this music.
Oh, you're most welcome. And we'll definitely keep in touch. Matter of fact, I will see you at Bethesda Blues and Jazz. So you can expect at least a hug.
I appreciate that very much.
Absolutely, Jimmy. Thank you so much. I'll look forward to it, too. You tell Jeff hello, and I'll make sure I keep in contact with him, and I'll tell Max what you said, too.
Yes, please. Give him a big hug for me.
I will. Thank you.
All righty.
Bye-bye, Jimmy.
Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye. So nice to be able to talk to one of the favorites, not only of mine, but of a lot of people that I know. And this is a track to sink your teeth into as to why we favor Jimmy Haslip so much. This is from Red Heat in 2000, Los Feliz. Thank you. This is Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy.
Once a story's told.
Rita Coolidge from actually 2005. Is it gone back that far? Really? Let me check to see this. Honest to goodness, 2005, yes indeed. Concord Music Group. The Jimmy Haslip produced CD called And So Is Love. Rita Coolidge, who fine-tuned a little bit the song that she made a hit in 1977, the song written by Boz Scaggs, We're All Alone. Man, let me just tell you something. Having known about Rita Coolidge for a while, those of us who followed what transpired in the 60s, when this graduate of Florida State University, an art major, thought, you know, I can sing a little. Maybe what I'd like to do before I get involved in an art teacher capacity, maybe I'd like to sing a little bit. So she took herself to Memphis, and who got a hold of her but the husband and wife team, Delaney and Bonnie Bramlett. They heard her, loved her so much that they took her to Los Angeles, and the rest is history. And when I say history, it is capital H, because it's one thing to consider what Rita Coolidge has done on her musical journey. The other journey is fodder for at least a Lifetime movie. And a lot of people know what I'm talking about, because Rita was one of the most blood-curdling, beautiful beings on the face of this earth. Part of her blood is Cherokee, so she used to dress in a style that would reflect proudly her culture, and a few were smitten. That list is legion. And I'm just going to tell you a few stories. First of all, apparently the reason why Crosby, Stills, and Nash broke up is because she left Stephen Stills for Graham Nash. That's one story. And then she, back in the day now, this is going back a while, she was at the airport and on her way to Memphis from Los Angeles. Waiting with her was Kris Kristofferson, who became so smitten that he said, I'm not going to Nashville, I'm going to Memphis with you. And that marriage lasted for 8 years. God knows. She is just remarkable, and all the more remarkable to contemplate the notion that she's following the gentleman who produced that particular CD back in 2005, Jimmy Haslip, at Bethesda Blues and Jazz outside of D.C. Rita Coolidge will be 70. I'm going to let you contemplate that, because I'm having a little tough time thinking about that at this moment. My God, she has lived so much in those years. Different sorts of forays into being the Delta lady. Leon Russell and Joe Cocker could tell you stuff. And I know that there are a myriad of other people who could as well. Delaney and Bonnie. I think that they're still with us. I cannot keep up with the folks who were in my musical journey as a teenager and all of that. Philadelphia, we ate this stuff up. Whew. Went to Kutztown State University to see Delaney and Bonnie open up for Steve Miller. This was in the 60s, early 70s. It was just really crazy. And Rita, she definitely needs to write a book. She and Jimmy may be collaborating. I don't care what they do. They both have to cement these particular milestones of glorious years involved in multiple genres. Just amazing. We did hear, by the way, two Jimmy Haslett-inspired songs. I have to go back, and I'm just dazed and confused because I had such a good time with him and then playing Rita. We heard the first song after our interview, Los Feliz, and that was about a neighborhood in Los Angeles where Jimmy lived from 1980 to 1986, dedicated that song to his dad. Real important neighborhood for him. And that's going back now to Red Heat in 2000. We also heard Lazaro from the Yellow Jackets Life Cycle project back a few years, and that was about the Cuban spiritualist named Lazaro Ross. So Jimmy, he mentioned the word passionate, and he gets deeply involved in what he writes about. You can tell that we're dealing with someone who essentially wears his heart on his sleeve, a beautiful thing to do. So if you get a chance, I know some of you, Beach, I know you're in California, but folks who can make it a day trip or, hey, maybe even fly in for this Maryland Summer Jazz Series, workshops and camps and events, maybe you can do that. The 22nd of July, you have a little time to plan. That's where Jimmy Haslip is going to be with the Morris Fortet, Bethesda Blues, and Jazz. He would love to see you. David P. Stevens, recently booked, as a matter of fact, this morning to Hybrid Jazz. He's going to be with us, let's see. Is that going to be the last day of the month? Yeah, on the 31st of July. He's going to talk about his Mr. Guitar CD. He's got Andrew New on one track. This is called One for Grover. Mm-hmm. On Hybrid Jazz, feast your ears on the guitar and sax work here. Hybrid Jazz.
Break my fall. the sky I'm falling from, take my hand. When the world pushes me away, hold me close. When I've had
impressive. Oh my gosh. Some of us could go on for days about Bria Skonberg, who was on Hyper Jazz not that long ago. This is from her most recent Into Your Own CD, a song she wrote called Break My Fall. Very enjoyable lyric there. If you can relate to it, you relate big time, don't you? Just telling Beej in the chat room, Bria is doing something that is very subtle but monumental. It appears as though Bria, because of her personality, and she's a beautiful girl, but it's inside and out beautiful. Because of the way that she is and because she is so talented on that trumpet, so serious about her music, so amazing as far as vocal ability is concerned, for whatever reason, all of these things are working so that she is infiltrating all male dominions. Oh my gosh, Ellen Sealing needs to be aware of this. Ellen, who was on a few months ago, it was an all-female show. We were talking about women involved in jazz. Bria is just doing it. She's going to be at the Newport Jazz Festival with a pretty large contingent of all males, but Bria is going to be the star of the show. And then you can check out her schedule to see what else is going on, and there's a vast array. Bria has also made it a point, since she moved from her native Canada to the United States, more importantly, specifically Brooklyn, New York, she wanted to be part of the touring guide system at the Louis Armstrong House Museum, where Louis used to live. So she is going to be there in the next couple of days as a tour guide, but then she's just wanting to show people what Louis was all about. This is her idol. Then she's going to be on the 19th a part of the Hot Jazz Cool Garden Summer Concert Series they have at the House Museum, 2 o'clock in the afternoon. She's a fascinating woman. And when she writes a song like this, her heart is so big. Oh, I just can't say enough. Very enjoyable. God love her. We heard, too, from George Benson from 1974, Bad Benson. The A-team musicians were around George at this moment in time. Phil Upchurch on additional guitars, Kenny Barron on piano, Ron Carter on bass, Steve Gadd on drums. Yes, that was, of course, the Billy Strayhorn song, Take the A-Train. This was a bonus track on the reissue. Originally, Bad Benson was in 1974. Now, I wanted to point this out to you. I have website written upside down so I could run this by you. Bear with me here. George Benson, yeah. When you go to his website, georgebenson.com, the first thing that you'll see is, let's see, yeah, the fact on June 15th, 2014, he has written an autobiography. And there is a word, of course, now it's not going to show the word. Maybe it's not showing me the word now because this is the second time I've visited the website in a matter of 2 hours. But there is a word, if you look up George Benson and you go to the initial page that features his website, there is a word I have never been familiar with. Maybe it's alluding to part of the autobiography that you get a free sample, but there is a word like it's something along the lines of discography, but it's not discography because I know what that is. You go there and see if you can find the word. It just really took me out. I thought, well, isn't this for the intellectual listener who goes to George Benson's page? There's going to be an autobiography, or there is one already. I'm very impressed with that. So back to Bad Benson. Don Sibisky was the arranger. If you get a chance to pick up that collection of work, you'll be really thrilled. George kind of lets things loose on Bad Benson, which is really phenomenal. We heard David P. Stevens, yes, one guitar segueing into another. David P. Stevens from Philadelphia with another Philly Boy. Andrew New playing one for Grover from Mr. Guitar, which will drop on August the 5th, and David will be with us on July 31st. You've got to go to his page on Facebook. If you go to davidstevensmusic.com, you might be able to find the video, but for sure on Facebook. For You is the one that was made into a video. You're going to see some David acting skills as well as guitar ability. He is so dang cute in this. He got a couple of folks to do acting bits. He got this comedian to portray his grandfather, and it's a hoot. Go and check that out For You, the video, on the David P. Stevens Facebook page. Very funny. Again, David's going to be with us on the last day of the month in July, the 31st, so we're looking forward to that. Another one of these cats who is a regional talent, and this has been said before, when a few of us laid eyes on Mark Meadows for the first time, it's one of those Rod Serling Twilight Zone moments. You just know he's going to be a star. And my gosh, is he making strides now, because he's got a new CD out. This is not his first, but Carry On Productions has a hold of this, and they're marketing it to different places. Really picking up steam, creating buzz. Mark Meadows, pianist, composer, band leader, educator, and star. He's adorable. And he's got this charisma about him that you can't even articulate. The album is called Something Good. This is Just Imagine, his own composition on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy.
Thank you.
This is Hybrid Jazz.
There's a saying old says that love is blind. Still we're often told, seek and ye shall find. So I'm going to seek a certain lad I've had in mind. Looking everywhere, haven't found him yet. He's the big affair I cannot forget. Only man I ever think of with regret. I'd like to add his initials to my monogram. Tell me, where is the shepherd for this lost? Thank you.
know, I don't think that I've ever played Blossom Deary on this show before. And we have to start rectifying that. One of the all-time wonderful songs. Do you agree? That's a Gershwin classic right there. Someone to Watch Over Me. How many people have done that in the past many decades? Woo! But Blossom, that particular version is considered by many to be the definitive one. She was one of the most quirky individuals that was involved in jazz. This unusual gal with a baby voice, born Marguerite Blossom Deary. Yes, that's really her name. One of the last of the great supper club performers. She had an occasion to move to Paris. I wasn't cognizant of this, although somebody had told me this through the years. When she was in Paris, she met the man who would become her husband, who was an amazing musician himself, Bobby Jasper, who was persuaded to come to the States, and he passed away of a heart attack at the age of 37. So that, I think, is what gave Blossom in later work that plaintive little wail in her voice. This from 1959, Someone to Watch Over Me from My Gentleman Friend. She did a lot of work. This particular project with Kenny Burrell on guitar, Ray Brown on bass, Egg Thigpen on drums. Big fan of hers was Dave Garraway, whose birthday I celebrated on Facebook the other day, no longer with us. Dave Garraway, the first host of the Today Show, and also a jazz disc jockey, by the way. One of those personalities that drew you in when he was on the TV show, one-to-one, looking at that camera, you felt as though you were the only person that Dave was talking to. He was like that. Loved Blossom Deary and would have her on the show frequently. Blossom also was on Schoolhouse Rock, yes, quite a few times, and you could hear her in some films, at least six I know of. Did some work with Lyle Lovett, yeah. A Mabel Mercer Foundation winner. Somebody that you are either drawn to and really feel, or there are those that really don't like that kind of voice. But when she was in person, this is what she would do. She was a formidable character, and she would tell her audiences that she did not want babies or young children to distract her while she was performing. She made it clear a few times that this was not to her liking, because she wanted people to be persuaded by the music. She, not an egotist, she wanted you to enjoy what she was doing. She took the music very seriously. Quite a character, Blossom Deary. Speaking of characters, Joe Sample in the middle there, Sunrise from Carmel in 1979. Joe had on this album Styx Hooper, Abe Laboriel, Dean Parks, who Jimmy Haslip was talking about earlier when he was on, Paulino DeCosto, Hubert Laws on a track. If you have seen pictures recently of Joe Sample, we were also worried because he wasn't feeling well for a little bit. It looks like Joe has a new lease on life. Here's why. First of all, he has a track that he wrote with the late Hal David, the last lyric that Hal David wrote was with Joe Sample, who provided the music for a forthcoming Melissa Manchester CD. Woo! That excited me. And then Joe is working with the great singer-songwriter Jonathan Brooke on a musical, Joe's first, called Quadroon. Jonathan is going back and forth to Houston, Texas, so she can collaborate with Joe Sample. My mind is blown because Joe had talked about this on Cool Jazz Conversations with Joy Hall and myself, going back a few years now. He wanted to do a production for Broadway about a Catholic saint that he really loved. Growing up in the Catholic Church, this was something that was real important for Joe. Well, now, not doing that, but this Quadroon musical is going to be opening up some eyes. We'll keep you apprised of the situation. Maybe Joe will come back on Hybrid Jazz. The last time he was here, he chastised me for not calling him. I did call him, but I couldn't get through to his room. So there, he knows it now. Joe Sample from Carmel and Sunrise. And we heard Mark Meadows. Man, that is such a good song. Just Imagine, from the brand new Something Good CD. Mark has a bunch of regional folks on this CD. I don't want to go through another list again because we just did, but if you go to markgmeadows.com, you'll find out a whole lot about this wonderful young man, spiritual guy, promise, showed that early. Matter of fact, he got full tuition to be a graduate assistant at Peabody Conservatory. Let me tell you something, not everybody gets that. He is now in Brazil doing a gig there, and there's just more gigs on the horizon. He's really wonderful. He was the, how can you say, the music director of the church that T and I were attending for a while. So we got to see him every week, and he made that choir and the folks who were playing music, really talented people, shine. So now he's with the Duke Ellington School in D.C., but he's also doing his own thing, touring back and forth and being a professional. So tickled for him. All right. Let's go back and hear some more music, shall we? Here's a gentleman we don't play often enough. I've played him a time or two, but I'll be playing him more. I really like his work. You might have heard of the trumpet producer, educator, Jeremy Pelt. This is he from a few years ago from the CD called Soul. This is called Tonight on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Thank you.
a time for summer skies, for hummingbirds and butterflies, for tender words that harmonize with love. A time for climbing hills, for leaning out of windowsills, admiring the daffodils above. A time for holding hands together. A time for rainbow-colored weather. A time of make-believe that we've been dreaming of. As time goes drifting by, the willow bends, but all my friends, whatever skies above, I know a time for spring, a time for fall, but best of all, a time for love. Time goes drifting by, the willow bends, and so do I, but all my friends, whatever skies above, I know a time for spring, a time for fall, but best of all, a time for love.
One of the shining jewels on Jeffrey Osborne's A Time for Love CD out last year. Whew. Oh, man, mixed emotions here in that song. It must be for Jeffrey now, too, because at the time he had said that his brother used to always sing the song around the house, and his mom used to really like it. So whenever he hears the song, he thinks of those days back when he was growing up in this large family in Providence, Rhode Island. But now, since it's 2014 and the producer of this magnificent project, George Duke, is no longer with us, I know that Jeffrey thinks of George. Even the title of the song, A Time for Love, oof. George on piano, Christian McBride on upright bass, John Roberts, Little John on drums, and Kamasi Washington on tenor sax. Woo! That was good stuff right there. Look, you've got to be following Jeffrey Osborne. He's in fabulous voice. If you get a chance to see him, please do. I wrote down a couple of dates, but that's because of what we have around here. He's going to be at the Keswick in Glenside, PA, outside of Philadelphia on August the 1st. So a few of us are planning to meet from Philly so T and I can get our tails there and just enjoy the company. Part of our farewell tour before we go to Florida in December. But Jeffrey's going to be in a few other places. If you do get the chance, honestly, it's an enriching experience to see him sing. There is something that comes from the depth of his soul when he immerses himself, especially in jazz standards, because that's his background. In case you did not know, there are forays into rhythm and blues and soul. He's on the Soul Train cruises all the time, of course, but his heart is in jazz, just so you know. We heard Boney James, brand new song in the middle there. Did you recognize that saxophone? I'll bet you did. Sunset Boulevard. Woo! Man, that's nice. From the Beat. Boney, four-time Grammy nominee, Soul Train winner, speaking of Soul Train, NAACP nominations too. Boney, just in case you did not know the story, so you can regale him if you ever get a chance to see him after one of the shows, because he's everywhere all the time. His real name is James Oppenheim, but he was touring with Randy Crawford going back several years ago now, and he was lamenting that he did not have enough money for food. And one of the other guys remarked in the band, if you get much skinnier, we're going to have to be calling you Boney James. So that stuck. I get such a tickle when I hear that story. Boney James, Sunset Boulevard from the Beat. Somebody said, I just saw this recently. Somebody took the folks who would call Boney James smooth jazz to task because he's much more muscular than what smooth jazz artists turn out. Woo! Whoa! I don't want to start no war or nothing, but I thought I'd pass that along because part of me is gleeful about that. Anyway, Jeremy Pelt started that set from 2012, Soul, the name of the project. Tonight, the name of the song, with J.D. Allen on sax. And Dwayne Burno, no longer with us, passed away, I believe, right around Christmas time, 2013. Man, please take care of yourself, would you? Would you do that? Jeremy Pelt, one of those guys who is not sung enough, with the Ben Allison Quintet tonight at Birdland, the 15th through the 19th. Then he'll be back in August with a Charlie Parker tribute. Should be great. Trumpeter, producer, educator, real accomplished guy, Jeremy Pelt. Let's play more music, shall we? And I'd like to be able to do this because it's an 11-minute track. We usually start Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy off with a classic if there's no guest. But today we had Jimmy Haslett, And thank you once again to Paula Phillips for arranging that. She also has arranged for us to talk to Helen Sung coming up on the 22nd. Yes. The great pianist, Helen Sung, who everybody wants on their albums. No joke. Amazing. So ordinarily I would play a song like this, especially since there's an array of bona fide icons on this 11-minute track. Going back to 1958, Cannonball Adderley and Miles Davis. You can just stop there, I know. Hank Jones, Sam Jones, this particular album, Something Else, is one of those Penguin Guide to Jazz core collections, one of the best of the best, and you have Autumn Leaves on top of that on Hybrid Jazz. I'll leave you alone for these next several minutes so you can enjoy this. Thank you. Hybrid Jazz. Just changing things up a little bit here. Usually we do a three-song set, but we had 11 minutes in the first song and close to six in the second. So it just behooves us to do that because I want to do a little something special toward the end of the show, which is, you know, about now. We've got 30 more minutes left. You should know that Iris Ornig has a couple of reasons to smile this week. Not only was it her birthday and she got a lot of love, but also Germany won the World Cup, everybody. So the folks in Baden are cheering, where Iris originally hails from. And so is the great-granddaughter of Ava Shainstein here. How about that? Germany. Wow, that's pretty cool. Iris Ornig from No Restrictions 2012 and Spark of Light. Isn't that a beautiful song? Oh, my. Bassist, composer, arranger, Iris. Mad respect for her all over the globe. On that particular album, by the way, Kurt Rosenwinkel, Michael Rodriguez, Marcus Gilmour, and Helen Song again, making it sparkle with that piano. Gosh, A-teamers. Whoa, so nice to hear. Really wonderful jazz, isn't it? Is there anything like it in the world? No, there is not. Oh, I'm so happy to play it for you. We heard, too, from Cannonball Adderley, essentially on his album, LP, back in the day, 1958, Autumn Leaves, Something Else, is the name of the beautiful, beautiful project. Miles Davis, though, takes center stage because rarely did he do a sideman scenario. But Cannonball was in his band, and Miles and Cannonball had this kind of relationship where Miles suggested to Cannonball the songs in the set, and Cannonball said, yeah, let's roll with what you want. Pretty cool stuff, huh? Hank Jones on piano, Sam Jones on bass, Art Blakey on drums. Oh, yeah. Man, the reissue was in 1999, but if you can get a hold of the original, especially on vinyl, we've got a lot of vinyl in this house. A lot of vinyl. We could move to Florida on the amount of money we'd make on selling the vinyl in this house. Beautiful stuff. Penguin Core Collection on Blue Note Records right here. Something Else. Cannonball Adderley and Miles Davis and Company. Beautiful. Look, I don't know how I'm going to get around this, but without getting emotional, I don't like to do that on the show, but there will only be one hybrid jazz this week because I'm making my way to Philadelphia tomorrow to say goodbye to an old friend. Chris was about the same age as me, and she had one of the most glorious voices in radio. No joke. She has worked, quite a few stations and been a voice for QVC. Just mellifluous, warm, wonderful redhead with a strong personality. And it's just really hard to believe that she's gone. She was at the first radio station where I ever worked, WRCP in Philadelphia. And then the FM of that became WSNI, which was a pioneer effort because what essentially it was country music done by pop artists. So I opted to stay on the AM because I wanted to play the real country, but Chris was on WSNI. And she's the only person, one of the only people in the world that could get away with calling me Trishy. And she would do that all the time, just a love. And we're all going to miss her. A lot of the old friends are going to gather tomorrow at a restaurant in Philadelphia and talk about the good times that we had as opposed to getting sad because we need to buoy each other up. So there's a couple of songs in this set that are for Chrissy. She had her own little jazz inclinations, but we're going to play a little set for her because I know she'll be hearing. She will. First, Hiromi and the song Dreamer from Alive on Hyper Jazz. This is Hybrid Jazz.
No complaints and no regrets. I still believe in chasing dreams and placing bets. But I have learned that all you give is all you get. So give it all you've got. I had my share. I drank my fill, and even though I'm satisfied, I'm hungry still to see what's down another road beyond a hill, and do it all again. So here's to life. And every joy it brings, so here's to life, to dreamers and their dreams. Funny how the time just flies. Our love can go from warm hellos to sad goodbyes, and leave you with the memories you've memorized to keep your winters warm. But there's no yes in yesterday, and who knows what tomorrow brings or takes away. As long as I'm still in the game, I want to play for laughs, for life, for love. So here's to life, and every joy it brings, here's to life, for dreamers and their dreams. May all your storms be weathered, and all that's good get better. Here's to life. Here's to love. Here's to life. Here's to love.
If you were listening closely to that magnificent performance by Shirley Horn, did you happen to notice the catch in her voice a couple of times? Jeez, man, beautiful. So odd. Just this morning I found out that this was recorded in September of 1991. At that particular point in this person's life, I was early with child with my son. And, whoo! Here's the title of that song, Here's the Life, right? 1992 was the release date for that song. The song and the album of the same name by Shirley Horn, arranged by Johnny Mandel. Oh, my God. Whoa! With Wynton Marsalis and Alan Broadbent on that particular recording. Song written by Artie Butler and Phyllis Molinari. What a song, right? Just can't say enough about Shirley Horn and the way she was able to deliver a song. If Shirley Horn didn't get to you, there's no getting to you. One of the favorites of Miles Davis, and he didn't have a lot to say that was good about other artists or performers, but he loved him some Shirley Horn. We heard Jeff Robinson too, and one of the best decisions that Brian Simpson ever made was closing out an album with Jeff Robinson's voice as the last song. Especially that song, an anthem of sorts. Desiree did it first in 1994, You Gotta Be, and Jeff turned it around and did the male version of that particular song. Let me tell you that Jeff has been doing his thing with Loose Ends, the legendary group, recently, and just did the Soul Food show in St. Louis. Man, that was knockout. I saw the list of folks who were going to be there. Jane Eugene of Loose Ends paid him public homage on his page, and she said, every time you open your mouth, you have the ring of truth in it. And that is for sure. That man can do anything and make it sound as though he owns it, including a version of I Want You on a previous effort some several years ago. I know the Beach heard it when I played it. We'll have to play that soon again, because we all know that Marvin and I Want You go hand in hand, but Jeff Robinson does it, and you go, well, wait a minute, why am I sweating? Why am I sweating? God, I'm sweating. He's like that. And Brian, by the way, going to be with Marc Antoine at Rehoboth Beach. There's a lot of dates that Brian is doing, but I have to make sure that you know about that one, because that's a pretty sweet little combination. So thank you, Brian, for this from Just What You Need from last year. Brian Simpson with Jeff Robinson as featured artist. We heard from, what did we hear? What did we start with? Yeah, Jeff and Iris. Iris, yeah. Did we? Oh, gosh, I'm so... Oh, no, Hiromi. Hiromi, and I'm looking at the clock. We don't have much time. Hiromi started the set off, and that was from 2014. It's just a couple of months ago, actually. Alive, the trio project. Anthony Jackson, Simon Phillips, and a song called Dreamer. Hiromi is going to be solo in Munich, Germany tomorrow night. Yes, and there's a picture that you might want to check out that is on Stanley's page and Hiromi's page, probably on Chick Corea's too. Hiromi played in Belgium with Chick and Stanley. Stanley, of course, thinks the world of her. And Chick was introduced to her after Stanley. I think I have that arrangement correctly placed. So, yeah, imagine a young girl growing up in Japan with a couple of jazz legends who think she is the greatest thing since sliced bread. Oh, my God. Look, it's been a blast today, y'all. I ain't gonna lie to you. It really has been. And there has been and Haslip. Thank you to Jimmy Haslip, who was here with us in the first hour of the show. No show on Thursday. All of those songs that you heard in that last set were from my friend Chris. And I'll be with the troops, including Sarah, a.k.a. I won't go through the radio names, but there's a lot of folks that we'll haven't seen in seriously over 30, 35 years at this gathering tomorrow in Philadelphia. Chris, please enjoy your life. Please take care of one another, if you will. Would you do that? Have a wonderful week, upcoming great weekend. Say a little prayer for moi, if you will, that things get done in our world, my son and mine. And have fun, but be safe. And really value everything around you in the way of who you love and what you do to take care of you so that you'll be around for them. All right? Thank you. Love you, Beach. Love the guests who have been floating back and forth today. Love the listeners who have kept tuning in to Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Next time around, next Tuesday, it will be Helen Sung right here. Thanks.